Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, October 15th, as we're back with you. No new co-host yet, but there will be in a few days, and we're just finishing up the selection process. So thank you for joining us. If you want to see us on Facebook, I do have a couple of great guests in the studio. We'll get to them in just a moment. You can go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook, and you'll see us there. Otherwise, you're probably on audio, so welcome to the show as well. Before I get to our guests, I just wanted to go over again. People asked me to describe what happened. This was 2 weeks ago, exactly. Tuesday, October 1st, I had a stroke driving to the studio in the morning, right on the freeway. And what happened was I started seeing double vision. I felt I was going to faint, felt I was going to vomit and everything. And I was on the left lane of the freeway during rush hour. So I didn't know what to do. I sort of slowed down a little bit and then stopped for about a minute on the freeway, and people stopped behind me and everything. But I couldn't get over to the right because there were like five lanes to my right, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I just kept on going, and I went for another 2 miles. And I got to the office, and somehow I did. I couldn't walk very well. I didn't know what was happening. And I called a friend. They took me to the hospital, and there they told me that I had a stroke. And for those of you who don't know, this is in the brain, and there's a clot in the brain in the back in your arteries. And apparently, so in emergency room, they have like a whole team just for stroke. So they started announcing code stroke and everything. The whole team came and took care of me. I talked to a doctor who was remote at another location. They looked at me with a camera and everything, all high-tech stuff. And so then they said, we're going to give you this drug, and it's going to go through the clot and you're going to be okay. So they did, and actually I was okay. As you can see, I'm healthy now and everything. And they said there's only about a 3-hour window after you have a stroke. And if you wait beyond that, the ending is not very pretty. But if you catch it before that, obviously you have to know you had a stroke. But if you feel something is weird, call emergency. Don't, or go to emergency or call an ambulance. Don't wait. Luckily, we did not wait. We went there even though we didn't know what it was. And so they told me if you'd come here a little later, the ending would have been very different. And then they told me, of course, up until 2 weeks ago, I was a cigarette smoker. And the doctor told me, if you keep on smoking, you'll be right back here, guaranteed. So at that moment, I decided to give up cigarettes and start eating better. And I adopted a Mediterranean diet, and a lot of vegetables, olive oil, things like that. And I'm feeling great. Everybody says I'm looking better than ever. And so that's good. And I'm lucky to be alive and well. As I say to people, sometimes I think there's worse things than death, and that is to be paralyzed or something where you fall on your family and they have to take care of you for the rest of your life. And I think that is the most terrible thing that can happen to anyone. So not to bring you down, actually, this is a story that should bring everybody up because the ending is good. And everybody was asking me, where are you for a few days? So that's where I was. At any rate, now we're going to get to our guests right now. Very special guests. The first one is Ian Guerin. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Thank you.
Get a little closer to the mic.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. And we asked your sister, Mar, to join you, right?
Hi.
Whoops, why am I doing this today? Okay, thank you, Mar, for joining us too.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yes, you agreed to join us. Well, actually, I made her. I forced her to come and sit with us, and Ian had to just go with it. But it's your sister, so you can't argue with that, right?
I'll give her some of my time.
Yeah. Are you guys close? Have you always been close?
Yes.
Yeah, and you close in age too?
3 years apart.
3 years? 3 years? Are you younger or...
Thank you, but no, oh, I'm older.
You're the older one. Okay, so you're the baby. Yeah. How many? Do you have any other siblings, brothers or sisters?
No.
So it's just you, huh?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thankfully not, because I was hearing Wendy Williams the other day and say, the more brothers you have, the more the inheritance waters down.
Exactly. So you get less money in the end, right? I know. Well, I would know, you know. I mean, I'm waiting for inheritance, but my mom is eating it all up now with her caregivers and everything. But what can you do? You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. But you're right. You know, so you guys will only have to split it two ways, yeah, which is okay. So we didn't talk much about the background because I usually don't want to know anything before the show starts. So you guys have an accent. Where are you from?
We're originally from Mexico City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were from Europe or something, you know. I don't know why, well, but because your career is taking off in Europe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why I thought.
But that's just by coincidence, really.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
So, but I'm sure it was planned that way, no? I mean, didn't you plan to be in Europe?
No.
No?
Actually, no.
Oh, okay.
It just happened. I recorded a song called Pup This Jam a couple of years back, and then I can't remember exactly where I sent it to, but I submitted it somewhere, trying to look for a chance. And this is by the time where I didn't have, like, any infrastructure whatsoever. And someone replied to me, like, what? You should send it to this guy who works for a magazine, called the Beat 100 in the UK. And so I sent it to him, and he did a review on it. And then all of a sudden, I was in the charts.
Really?
Like, the magazine charts, and it got to number one. And that's how it really, like, kicked off for me.
So you charted number one in the UK?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, on the Beat 100 and that.
Yeah, well, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back to how it started and everything. So you guys are from Mexico City?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was it like growing up there? I mean, it's different, right? I mean,
yeah,
Mexico City is different from other parts of Mexico, right?
Yeah.
It's more like the city, the big city. Is it a lot like the United States in many ways?
Well, it's like any city in the world.
Right.
Like Madrid or New York. Like, it's a big city.
It's a big city, a lot of traffic,
exactly,
a lot of people. Do you know how many people live in Mexico City?
I think we're up to 25 million.
25 million in one city?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought 4 million was bad in L.A.
But, well, L.A. traffic beats Mexico
City.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it, but they do.
Well, maybe less people have cars there, right? Or because here in LA, everybody's got like three cars, you know?
In Mexico, it's pretty much the same.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, people who have, there's like people who don't have cars and then people who have three cars, five cars.
Right, you know, right. So it's different.
Very unbalanced.
Is there a disparity, between the poor and the rich in Mexico City?
Yes.
Not a lot of middle class. Or
there's a lot of middle class, but it's not the most people.
Right. So you see a lot of disparity between the...
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I heard. That's why I'm saying that, you know, because apparently there's... so it's quite different. Now, 25 million people, I can't even wrap my head around it. I mean, that's a lot of people.
And you don't always find love in the club.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. How is that possible?
I don't know.
I don't know either, man.
You know?
Yeah. So, great. So you grew up there. You went to school. And what was it like growing up there? I mean, did you guys have a good childhood?
Yeah.
Yeah, but always growing up in a third world country, even
right,
though you have it good,
mm-hmm,
it's not that easy. It changes your perspective on how to live life, what's important, what's not. Like, sometimes people lose perspective when they have everything.
That's true.
And we were lucky growing up because my mother had a very good job and everything, but, well, it,
She worked hard and everything.
Yeah, it was because she worked very, very hard every day.
Really?
6 a.m. and she was home until 8 p.m.
Wow.
So that's why we had it good.
Right. And what was your father at the time?
A publicist.
Oh, a publicist.
Well, yeah. he worked a publicity agency.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So he worked hard too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like my mom who wasn't there all day, because then he was an editor too, so he would be home editing.
Oh, I see.
But my mom had to go.
But mom, you didn't see a lot of
corporate jobs. So.
That's why.
Yeah. Well, she sacrificed a lot for you guys, you know. But I'm sure at later years you sort of like made up for it and were able to see her more and everything.
Yeah. Well, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had a good, comfortable childhood thanks to her and your dad, of course. And it helps when the parents work, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
It's always nice.
And so now, did you always like music? I mean, early on in your life, Ian?
I would say yes, because my dad recorded me humming the national anthem like when I was, I was 6 months old.
It was creepy.
Really? Wow.
But the first thing, and this is the first time I'm going to say this on radio because I was really like embarrassed to say it, but the first contact that I had with, you know, like an audio experience was when we had a dog and it barked. So I imitated the bark, but exactly like that.
Oh.
So I later on realized that it was something that, you know, was because of I had good hearing.
Right.
And the music thing came along because, well, I liked music. But I was like 9 and I was playing my aunt in her karaoke machine. And
nice.
And she said, you can sing really well.
Yeah.
And she took me to a studio to make a demo. So that's how it really started. But
that's cool. Did you pick up an instrument at that point or anything? Or
I took piano lessons.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. What? I'm no Ray Charles, though.
No, but that's okay. When did you start playing the piano? What age? Do you remember?
I was young. It probably was before the karaoke experience.
Yeah.
Like at 7.
So you started developing a musical sense and everything earlier than that.
But I didn't know I was attracted, and my parents weren't stage parents that pushed it.
Right.
You know, my mom wanted.
Usually
me to
they're
be
not.
A corporate.
You know. Yeah. Get a real job.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What about you, Mar? Did you have an affinity for music? I mean, did you like music early on?
No.
How can you not like music? I don't know. But, well, you were young at times.
She doesn't like it now.
Really?
Well, I do like music, but, like, very specific.
Right.
But it's not my thing. I'm more into film.
Oh, I see.
And I do like it, of course, to pick music from my films and all the work we do. But I'm more into film. He's more into music. He doesn't go to the movies.
No?
Yeah, that's like a thing we have. I don't.
You don't watch him at home either?
No, I watch a lot of shows and documentaries, but the movie thing is like a fake story that's going to end.
Yeah, but it's supposed to entertain, make you think a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, I can totally understand that. You know, I mean, there's people that like different things and stuff. You said different types of music. What types speak to you?
I like R&B, electronic music.
Uh-huh.
I like reggae, electro reggae.
Really?
And rock.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so you're into R&B, right?
R&B and big band and jazz and blues.
Oh, wow.
I like music with melodies and real instruments. And
right. Not rap music, right? Are you into that too?
Yeah, I like hip-hop and I like rap. I like all sorts of music, all genres, and just not regional Mexican.
Okay. But, yeah, I guess in your age, everybody likes rap pretty much, you know?
Yeah,
so,
I like it.
I never developed a liking for it, but what do I know? I'm twice your age, you know? So I like music from the 70s, from the 80s, you know, and new music too, but more that I can relate to, you know, more rock and R&B and things like that.
Well,
you know?
My dad and I always have a conflict of interest with music because he's like more from the rock culture and he's always like hearing me play the music that I play and he's like, no, I like louder music and I like it to really like strum you in. I'm like, and I'm like, well, I like it too, but I like, he's like hearing the latest electro music at times or the latest rock band, or and I'm like singing "Just in Time" by Tony Bennett. Like, I'm like,
wow, that's amazing. You know, I mean, yeah. He's the one that should be like.
Yeah, yeah, but thanks to him, Bennett. We have all this.
He's a big Van Morrison fan.
True. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. And but you liked American English music and things like that. That's what you grew up on.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I did too. You know, I mean, I'm from Israel, and I also liked American music, European music and stuff. You know, I liked Israeli music too, but I think rock and roll or all the international genres that people like, they speak to everyone. It's universal.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? That's cool. So you got into film at a young age. You realized I wanted to pick up a camera and start making films?
Yeah. I went to a trip to Orlando when I was 5 to Disney World with my cousins, and my aunt had a camera, and we had some, you know, Ghostbusters costumes. So wow. I'm like, oh, we should do a little movie here. And after that, I'm like, I should be a film director.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You liked it.
And I started directing some more short films when I was like 9.
What? So. Really? Guys, you guys are talented. There's no question about it, you know. Very nice. So you picked up the piano, you started singing and everything. At what point did you start? So you write your own music now?
Yeah.
Okay, at what point did you start writing music?
I can't remember this exactly. I don't know why I say it.
Yeah.
I remember I was like 14, and I was really into Michael Jackson.
Uh-huh.
I still am.
Yeah,
my
who isn't? You know, I mean, we love.
I used to like football, soccer, and I played with my cousin who's a drummer, and I hope he's watching.
Uh-huh.
And he used to have this joke when he said, "You used to be a good goalkeeper till you fell in love with Michael Jackson, then everything ended." And because I never ever picked up a ball ever again
since then, right? Right?
Yeah.
And I remember hearing his final album, Invincible, and hearing "You Rock My World," and I wanted to write a song just like that.
Wow!
And it didn't turn out just like that.
Yeah,
it was so horrible. It was awful. But that's how it started.
Yeah, I know. I picked up the guitar early on in my life, about 12, 13, and I guess when you have an instrument and you sing, it comes naturally to start writing your own songs, you know, because you have this, you feel like, hey, I want to do it myself, you know. Yeah. Other people are doing it, I'm singing other people's songs, let me write my own.
Yeah.
So so did you pick a genre when you started, or did you just start writing?
I don't remember, like, having anything in mind. I remember having, like, the current sound from the Irreplaceable album out now, everybody.
Yeah.
Having it in mind ever since I was in high school, I wanted to write this. Well, it wasn't titled that, so I'll give it away. It was the L'Obsession album, and I had that in mind. And I remember being in the shower and tapping, you know,
really
to the sound of the water, and, you know, just wanting those kinds of sounds. But it ended up being something completely different, which was the debut album, the Mad Sexy album, which is also good.
So your first song you wrote naked, pretty much in the shower.
Yeah, but I didn't like fixate on a genre. I just wanted to be like this huge pop star, because, well, I was in love with Michael Jackson.
Right, right.
So
and it's a dream. I mean, teenagers, usually music is what you connect with, you know? Yeah, exactly. And many teenagers define themselves by the music, and because it lets them sort of like express themselves. I know I did. And then the music, I think, of your teen years becomes sort of like the soundtrack of your life, you know. I mean, everything evolves from that, I think, because that's when you discover music for the first time, and you can really relate to it in an innocent way, you know. And I know I was like that, and to this day I listen to music from my teens, you know, because that's what remained. So then you moved on, and for those of you just joining us, by the way, we're talking to Ian Guerin and his sister Mar, and they're here. Are you guys visiting, or do you live here?
visiting.
Well, you're visiting from Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Like on a publicity tour or something like that?
Sort of.
Sort of, right? Yeah. So people will get to know you a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you've done quite well in the UK, right?
And,
and we'll get to that. So, and we'll get to your music, too. We have a couple songs queued up here that we're going to play so we can get an idea of some of your music and everything. So what was the first step you took into making yourself known to sort of like put the music out there before you were discovered and actually charted number one?
It was like a few years back, and the debut single was Bubblegum, and I just uploaded it to a page called iSound, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was like just the first steps of Spotify, like the sort of
when it started,
the prequel, I don't know how to say it.
Okay
I just uploaded it, and
the predecessor to
predecessor, Spotify. Yeah,
okay.
And it started doing well, and then then we did the video for I Heart, yeah. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And we didn't have any budget, and
none.
No budget, huh?
But it still turned out well, and the most important thing is that people like the music. So
right
everywhere, I started gaining confidence. Because I wasn't good at school. I never liked it. I wrote songs in school, I remember, and I was like in history class. Right. And it's curious now because I love documentaries, and I like should have learned this in school, but I never paid attention.
Do something else.
Yeah. And I remember writing songs, and and that like to me was what I wanted to do because I never got recognized in school. I always say that the awards in the UK and everything were like my achievement awards that you get in high school, any, and I wasn't good at math, and I never got like any recognition, just reprehension, like, oh, you're doing this wrong, you're gonna fail. So it's
You didn't have the patience for it. Not everybody does, you know, especially when you're creative type, you know, you're like restless, you can't sit in a box, you know. And I know that because I was like that too. I only picked up I only started like in school, really in college, you know, because then you approach it in a more mature way, and you go there because you want to, not because you have to, you know, and that's the difference. So I don't fault you for that. I mean, I can totally understand. Do you have, so I'm curious to hear Bubblegum. Do you have that online too?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me go on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me find Bubblegum because we didn't talk about that. And we have other more newer songs, right?
Yeah.
But let me find this because I'm curious now to see what that song is like. So, okay, so here's a couple notes from Ian Gillan singing Bubblegum. Let's see. This is what? 2014, I see, right?
It's actually 2010 that was the first.
I see, and then it was uploaded here later.
Again, yep.
Okay.
Tripping me crazy as it seems, I see in my dreams. She ain't hot to thrill, but she's killing me. Somebody like you needs someone like me. Somebody like me fits someone like you. Take me somewhere nice, get me out of here. Show me what you got and give it to me. Let me lose your dread.
Yeah, I can hear the Michael Jackson influence here a little bit, you know. Cool, I like it, man. So this is before you started making videos, I see, because there's no video going with this one.
We did a little home video with my dad, but it wasn't
what you wanted,
video. And this song is actually credited for 2014 because that's when I got my Vivo channel. So that's when I uploaded that. Ian Garen, Vivo people. It's always a good time to self-promote.
Yeah, and of course, that's why you're here.
I wanted to tell you this story because I just remember when we were hearing it now, when we were in LA for the first time with my cousin, the drummer, if he's watching, hey, listen to this.
Hi, cousin.
And, and we brought the Mad Sexy album with us, and he told my sister, you do realize that the songs from this album are never going to be played on radio.
And, really?
And I was thinking about it now because it just happened that you said, let's play a little bit of Bubblegum, and you made it happen for that song and played it on the radio.
There
so
you
we
go,
did
cousin.
Play it on the radio.
You see? Take that, cousin.
Exactly.
Yeah, you see? So eventually it gets played on the radio and everything. But no, I mean, it's nice to look back and say, this is how I started, you know, and so forth. So later on with the songs we're going to play in a little bit, you actually do have videos, right? And did you have a part in this, Mara?
Yeah, I directed the video.
You directed the video.
Well,
of course, who are you going to give it to? You know, she'd kick your ass if you didn't, right? You got to, hey, I'm here and I can make a video, you know.
Yeah,
so that's very cool, and we'll see that, in a little bit. So, great. And then you wrote this one, and it never played on the radio then? You just uploaded it to Vivo, right?
Yeah, well, it played now.
I mean back then.
No.
So that's like almost a 10-year-old song, you know?
Yeah.
So you've done a lot since then.
Yeah, and I've been working with the same producer for the last 11 years now.
Oh, really?
His name is Asmir Bangord, and he's really talented. I hope he's watching now.
Great composer.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. So he produced your songs too and stuff. Now, what about the music, the instruments and everything? Did you play with like studio players? How was it done?
Actually, Asmir played all the instruments.
Oh, he played all of them.
Him and I believe his mom did some. Then we had a guitarist come for one of the songs in the new album for Replaceable because there's like Spanish guitar, and so he brought in someone and he brought some horns in, but he mainly did all the playing of the arrangements.
Very talented.
And,
very cool.
He's crazy just like me, but we get along just fine.
Yeah, huh? Well, that's good. I'm sure we become good friends too, you know.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. So the song, let's play more of the music now. So the song that is current now, so you just released an album, I read, right?
Yep.
Back in July?
In March.
Oh, in March.
Yep.
Released on March, July 2019. I don't know why they wrote that, but someone made a mistake.
Yeah, okay. It was March 22nd.
Yeah, it has to be March or July. Get both. Okay. So, and the album is called Irreplaceable.
Irreplaceable.
Right? And how long did it take you to put an album together? How many tracks are on there?
There's 13 tracks, but there's three bonus tracks because one is a Christmas song because I always wanted to have a Christmas song, so I did.
Yeah.
And I put it in there too, so, you know, like to bundle it up for people who got the album. They already have the Christmas song in time for the holidays. And it's called For the Holidays, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And we'll get to that because it's
okay,
it's
if you want to hear it, we'll play that too. Yeah, why not?
No?
No. Okay. We won't get to
it's
it.
It's okay.
All right. But you wrote all the songs?
Yeah, there's like the 13, the three bonus tracks and the 10 regular songs, and I wrote them all. Yeah.
Wow.
They're all personal stories.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You write the lyrics and the music and the melody?
I write, the melodies and the lyrics, and I did some of the demos with another friend, and then, you know, that transcended into some final arrangements. Some others just were, you know, made by Asmir.
Right.
But.
Okay, cool. So let's play. So tell us about the first track or the one that's that you're promoting now. It's called, what's it called?
Free Time.
Free Time, okay. And so this is the first track from the album?
This is the second track from
the album.
The
second?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we should listen to the first one?
Yeah, that's a different affair.
Okay. And we have featured in your live then, so let me find another one here, And okay, let me erase this bubble.
I actually wrote a different affair here in LA.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I was having such a bad time love-wise. Yeah, I was really...
Well,
really,
at least you had love, you know? I mean, that's a lot more than other people.
Well, I just lost love. But then I read on the Tony Bennett book that the best songs are written out of longing and loneliness.
Right.
And that's exactly how it was written.
Really? So, wow. Yeah. So you were in LA for a while when this happened? Or did you meet someone from LA?
No, it was from Mexico. She was from Mexico, but I was in LA when I wrote the song. And
oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and I was missing her so badly because she just stopped talking to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's terrible, man.
Yeah.
So A Different Affair. Let's listen to that. Sounds kind of depressing, but I'm sure it's going to be.
It's actually upbeat.
Yeah,
upbeat song. Yeah, okay. I like it already, man.
Thank you.
Went out with my brothers, had another love. I miss you all being in LA. It is my mission, I get them forgiven. Reminisce with you with things I heard. I knew I was, and I wondered if you missed me. I started to think we never talk again.
I like it, man. This is my kind of music.
Thank you.
Yeah. Got rid of my love, put on the bottle, I pull all the stops and start over again. No one was confessing, I go ahead and see you. I love all the best, but some doesn't hurt. Our hearts and minds are so much alike. We laugh, we cry, we're partners in Christ. No girl like you and no man like me. We are meant to be, no lying, this is it. That is why I command and need you. That is why I decree the failure. Every time I felt alive. We're gonna try a different dynamic. We're gonna try a different affair. We're gonna try a different dynamic. You're gonna love me my way. We're gonna try a different dynamic. We're gonna try a different affair. We're gonna try a different dynamic. You're gonna love me my way.
That's cool, man. I can see why. How do you pick which song is going to be the first single from an album? The one that you like most or the one you think is going to
The one
hit,
I feel right? the most, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, like the one that I get moved more by, that's the one I choose at the time of
So
freedom.
You don't think maybe the one that has the best commercial chances or... Usually
no,
the same
not
thing,
really.
Right?
Like part of not being in a label is that I get the chance to like really put the songs, push the songs that I really want to push.
Right.
So, I do have like that thought in mind. But what I try to do, like I remember seeing this Michael Jackson interview a long time ago when he was doing Off the Wall, and he said, "I don't want to do one of those crappy albums where you have two good songs and then." Eight album fillers. I want to do albums where every song is a potential single. And when I made this record, I wanted it to be exactly that.
Yeah, so you didn't want to just write trash to fill up
the
album.
Like every song, if people and you hear the song, hear the record in full, you'll see that every song has a hook. Every song has like those lines that you can stick to. It has a deep story behind it. You know, and the melodies are, you know, playful enough to stick in your head.
Right.
Because I wanted exactly that. I wanted to be able to choose any song as a single.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Well, you chose a good one. We'll get to the other one in just a second. I wanted to ask you, though, how did it happen then that you penetrated the European market? How did that go about?
Well, through the B100 charts. And then when I had that.
So what did you do? You submitted to them or something?
Yeah. When I had the number one song with Pop This Jam, I couldn't release it like on streaming services because it was the beat wasn't made by Asmir. It was made by some Australian producer, they just contacted me online, so we couldn't get the copyright straight for that. So I could just register the lyrics and the melodies, but I couldn't do a song in full, like the copyright in full. So I did another song, and it was Cry, and I sent it, and it started charting. And so, but that could be in streaming services. It also has a video, and that was a single that it didn't go to number one, and I was pissed. And
that was the first one?
That was the first single from the Irreplaceable like era, but it wasn't still an album. It was still in the works, and Cry was like number 7, I believe, in that magazine, but it won awards too. So I just felt so good because I never won anything. As I was saying, I never won anything in school. Yeah. So when I started winning awards for something that I actually like to do, like, I was thinking about this in the shower this morning. This is the first time I'm waking up at 6:30 in the morning to go someplace that I actually want to be at. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good, man. You know, I mean, you can't beat that. So I want to hear Cry, because now you got me interested in that. And let me find it real quick here. And we'll play Cry, because that was the first song. So that's from the same album, right?
Yeah.
So when did this happen, the number 7
It was
placement?
Back in 2015. Because I was suggested that I first do a single. Mm-hmm. I had an advisor here in L.A., which if he's listening, he doesn't always like me to say his name. I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay, then don't. Okay. You can't take it back. That's what I'm saying. You know, if he doesn't want to, then don't.
You know, his name is Brent Fisher, and he's okay. A good friend of mine, and I'm sorry. Yeah. and he's very talented. He's his father was Claire Fisher from Latin jazz, and he's a Grammy winner and everything. So he told me to do a single, and then when I turned in the single, he said, "Well, this is good. Why don't you do an album?" And I'm like, "I just finished the single. Now do an album. Go back and do an album."
He was right.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a song from Irreplaceable. It's called Cry. So the album is... So you started writing this a while ago, right? Okay. So it took a while for the album. And let's see.
It was also
hold
the
first on. There's an ad here. Hang on a second.
A word from our sponsors. Ad,
yeah. So this one they picked as the best song of the year, best R&B soul song
of the year. Yeah.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have felt good, right?
I thought you were gonna say, "Well, that doesn't feel like the best soul song of the year," but
no. Why would I say that? It's a great song, you know. No, I like it, man. I like your music. You know, I can relate to it. Mm-hmm. It's catchy. It's good. It's got a beat to it. You know, and it's very cool. Yeah. So that was Cry. And let's see, we only have a few minutes. I want to catch Free Time too, because this is the current song you're promoting, right?
Yeah. We could do Feature in Your Life, like just a little snippet, because that's
okay.
That's my favorite from the album. So
oh,
I'd
it
like
is?
People to hear you.
Okay, Feature in Your Life. Let's hear that. Yeah, I like this one.
Hey, you rich, sometimes fail. I lost everything to a real bad deal. Trade up, can live for a part-time crush. I know you believe all good thought is gold. You fool nobody, I fool nobody. We have done it before. Yeah, you know how it feels to be down and low. Cause you give her all, I got little to none, yeah. You've been there before. Get set in the world, no need for you to be afraid. I need a feature in your life, baby. I need a feature in your life, baby. I never should have left, I'm sorry. I'm making no excuses for me. I'm willing to go the extra mile, yeah. So feature me, feature me. Come on, feature me, feature me. Yes, romance is fading and love overrated, but now can't deny we click. You fool nobody, I fool nobody. We're thick as thieves and we go together. Like beats and drinks and kiss together, we'll redefine the meaning of forever. One page, one spread. We're already an issue. One page, one spread. Let's put our love on stand. I need a feature in your life, baby. Baby,
it's catchy, man. I can sing it. There you go. Yeah, you know a thing or two about hits. That's pretty good. And you're his biggest fan or no?
No, actually, I am. And I love his music. That's why I love doing his videos.
Yeah.
And we're actually doing the video for Featuring Your Life next year, early next year. And it's going to be the first one. We're going to put like all the money into it because we're always, everything you can see online, we've done with less than $500. Mm-hmm. And now we're really going to do a music video, not just a lyric video or what we can do, but what we want to do.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have already any idea of how you want to do it?
Yeah.
What song is going to be for?
Featuring your life? Yeah, this is this song.
Oh. I think it's the best song in the album.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
By far.
My favorite with A Different Affair and another called The Place. Those are my three favorites. And the title song. But the title song, I like it. Because I just said everything that I needed to say to all those girls that broke my heart. Uh-huh. So it's like a big letter.
Okay, but we'll keep... So that would be Irreplaceable. That's the title song?
Irreplaceable is the title song. But if we're going to do one more song, then we should do Free Time. Because
we'll leave that song for people to actually hear on the album, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, we're not going to play all the songs. Yeah, no. But the album is Irreplaceable. The artist is Ian Gearan. And so now we're going to hear the current hit, Free Time. So let's check it out. Yeah, see, I like that. Did you make this video?
Yeah.
Santa Monica, is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
All around LA.
Yeah.
It's been broken so many times before. Cause the last time you were asked to trust, all you got was pain, deceit, and all that bad stuff. I need you to trust me, so that one day we two can say
we found the love and we always saw another.
So you mostly have like love songs and things like that, right? Like relationships and.
Sorry, like what?
No, I mean you sing about relationships oh. and love and things like that.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Very cool.
It's like a very paranoid song, yeah.
But no, you did a great job with the camera too. A lot of backward movement, a lot of reverse, right? Because
yeah.
we can see him walking through town and stuff. And it's oh, cool. So you get along with the girl you saw on the street. That's pretty cool, man. Yeah, in the video. Cool. I wish it was that easy for me to pick up women, let me tell you.
No, it hasn't been easy. That's why you're replaceable.
Well,
in
the video it is. Great job, guys. You're both very talented, you know, and I'm really grateful that you joined me this morning.
Well, thank you for having us.
Of course. How can people find you, contact you if they want
to? They can go to Instagram and Twitter at I am Ian Guerin, and Guerin is G-U-E-R-I-N. I want to look at the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And Facebook/ I am Ian Guerin, or just type Ian Guerin. Again, Guerin is G-U-E-R-I-N.
Right.
Twitter and Instagram, I am Ian Guerin. And the video that we just saw, they can find it on YouTube on Ian Guerin Vivo, or just type in Ian Guerin and the Vivo channel will come up.
Right. And that's free time. I like this song. I like the song a lot. This one.
Which one was your favorite?
This one.
Yeah, really?
This one, yeah. Because I like the beat, I like the melody, and I like the video. You've done a great job. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. If people want to see you, contact you, do you want to give any? No social media for you, right?
No.
Okay, so get to her through Ian if you want to.
Yeah.
But she's behind the scenes. So.
Well, the album is available everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, all just the people's favorite streaming service. It's also available in Pandora now because it wasn't before, but it is available now. So
you managed to get the song everywhere, and that's cool. Also, congratulations on your success in Europe and
in
Great Britain. Are you going to do any do you do any live performances?
I want to do live performances.
Yeah, I
don't now, but I want to do them. But I just want to give people quality. The quality experience, and by quality I mean like the real drums, the real horns. Like for free time I have like horns planned, like in Pop Life by Prince, his DVD where Pop Life, you know, it just has a synth, and then live when they go live like you know, it, like the horns and live drums and live violin, so the whole experience. I don't want to go and sing tracks.
So you need like a whole band and stuff, which is not simple to put together.
I want the whole band and not just the track.
Right.
Well,
good for you. You know, I mean, still, you get to people through your music, and it's available everywhere. So everyone get Ian Guerin's album, Irreplaceable. Check out the songs. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. You guys are very nice, and I wish you much continued success to both of you.
Thank you.
And what's in the future for you? More videos for you, for your brother?
Yeah.
Do you make any films at all?
Well, yeah, I write films, and I'm now in the process of selling them so we can start shooting some of those projects, and also we got TV series. And
well, come back when these things become actual, and we'll promote those as well.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.